Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Jonathan Starkey, your favorite digital pub landlord. And we don't want to hear any arguments about it from anyone. I've been voted in by an absolute stupendous number of people as the most fabulous digital pub landlord in Cheshire. So
he's
here
the,
we go.
He's the new Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah, I'm the new Joe Biden. Yeah. Thank you very much. Right, okay. In the house tonight, we have Mr. Steve Ingram, the Raven. Good evening, gentlemen. I really don't know, ladies and gentlemen, why he does it in that peculiar voice. I do. No. And we have the one and only Statsman. Hello, Stats. How you doing?
Hello, John. I'm all right, thanks, yeah.
And we have also on the line, digitally, we have a digital gazelle. Say hello, Mr. Trevor Nichols.
Good evening, Mr. Trevor Nichols.
Right, okay, that was, wasn't bad. Anyway, we're going to go straight on and we're going to go in to the landlord's roundup of the week. And I tell you now, it's not going to be that difficult because everything seems to be about Bojo. But I'm not actually going to talk about him straight away, okay?
I'm still standing. And he will.
Oh, no, I don't think. Well, standing where? On his own. he'll be solo. So low that nobody's going to pick him up. I'm telling you now. We can't wait for that report from Sue Gray. I bet you everybody is actually sitting there with bated breath saying, Sue.
No, can I just correct you there, Lord?
Go on.
You will have to wait for that report from Sue Gray.
He just stole the words out my mouth there.
Yeah, well, no, you're quite right. You're quite right. Well, roundup of the stories that caught my eye, the big one was Adele, the big one in the music industry.
Adele's not a big one anymore.
Well, no, she isn't. You know, what a disgrace. The fans are furious as the singer cancels her concert. And quite simply, it was like 24 hours before, and she just cancelled. And that was it. And she went online and she was crying about all these different things. I don't think that anybody would have cared at all if she'd have just turned up with a pianist to accompany her. Simple as that.
What was the actual issue going on there? Well, I don't really know about it.
There were so many different things.
It's not ready.
Things,
we're not ready.
You know,
COVID.
Problems
and
with the people. You know, the got external, COVID.
Yeah.
You
the
know,
internal and, excuse for
yeah,
doing
yeah,
sod
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now Caesar's Palace have actually removed all of her sets. So.
Don't blame them.
They were taken away. I don't think she's going to be going back there somehow. I don't know. Richard Littlejohn, in his normal, inimitable fashion, turned round and he said, "Labour waved hands at the PM like sooty and sweep." during the PMQs. I mean, oh my God, what's going on?
I didn't see it, but I've read bits and pieces throughout the afternoon. But to be quite honest, you know, let's face it, you've got Russia bordering the Ukraine, and
you've always been bordering the Ukraine, haven't they?
You know,
yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. The lining up on the border, and you've got all this going on, and you've got Labour banging on about Partygate. It's ridiculous. And in my view, you know, the whole thing is now becoming a complete sham. You've got the Labour Party involved in the same kind of thing, but it's different now.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, let's get down to some brass tacks then with some of the other stories. The Downing Street staff party to 1 a.m. before Prince Philip's funeral. Yeah?
Yeah.
What about that one?
What about this? The Queen? And
yeah.
Oh, you know? I just lost for words now.
Downing Street police give extremely damning COVID party evidence. Ah. And another one here.
Evidence.
Oh. Evidence. And they're being investigated right now.
What, for a crime?
Oh. Do you know what? If it is a crime, I mean, as Keir said, the police only open up an investigation if they have reasonable evidence to actually do it.
Is it correct that there are calls for the Labour side to be investigated now too?
No, I don't know. I mean, if they do, they've got one of the best barristers going in Keir Starmer because he was the head of public prosecutions, wasn't he?
The best.
He avoided some rather sensitive subjects in the past, though, didn't he?
Yeah. The other thing is Boris Johnson's praise for Girl 7, who cancelled birthday party, comes back to haunt him. I mean, he sent her a letter saying, yes, it's right that you're cancelling your birthday party. basically, because you're doing a lot of good for the country.
But I'm not cancelling Martin.
Yeah, well, he didn't cancel his, did he? I mean, come on now, Steve. I mean, you've got to be honest. There is so much damning evidence against this guy. I mean, it's almost like turning around, you know, and saying, is Andrew, Prince Andrew, going to come back to public service? I don't think so. It ain't going to happen. You know, and if everybody that's talking behind the scenes is saying, they can't wait for him to go because he's actually destroying faith in politics. Now, I know what you're going to say, Steve, and I'm going to let you say it because I can see you like sort of doing your impression of a naked sooty, waving your hand. Getting ready. Steve, come on. It's damning. The frustration and the anger at number 10 over Partygate, it's blown up. I mean, it really has blown up. How are you going to defend that? Why don't you rip up your card, sir?
I'm not ripping
rip
up my
your card.
Card up. I am not ripping up my card. And furthermore, I've booked for conference. So that's it. So there you go. Actually, to be quite honest with you, there's some very serious issues going on in this country. There's a lot of people struggling with lots of different things. We need to look at energy. We need to look at tax. We need to look at a lot of different things to make sure people have got a very good standard of living. And we deal with things that are affecting a lot of people. But
are you going to repeat and echo what Boris is saying? We've got the best economy in the G7. We were the ones that made all the big decisions regarding COVID, and we got it right, okay?
Wait a minute. We have got lots of investment coming into this country, and to be quite honest,
Did you hear him? He was choking.
I was choking because I'm actually biting my tongue here. You can keep going on and on and on about all the problems around the country. Boris broke the rules.
That's it. That's the point. That's the point.
But didn't know the rules.
Yes, you could always say, Trevor, I am in total agreement with you.
I think Putin is laughing his head off at the Labour Party and what's going on here over Partygate. Well, over our parliament and what's going on here and what we're debating, because Putin right now is just lining up and we're not responding. And it's a very serious threat.
Oh, come on now. Now, we'll come to Putin in a minute, but let's carry on Boris bashing. It's great. We love it with a conservative in the room.
Listen about Putin. About the Russian incident anyway. They've been there for about 3 months. As I said earlier, they've got their own postcodes now. They've been there that long.
They've been there since about 2014.
Of course, yeah.
It's nothing new, this. Don't you think it's a bit of a coincidence that when Biden and Boris's political careers are in tatters, all the focus is on Russia.
Boys are all now men.
Trevor, you can't see his face over there. He's just like, so, I mean, I'm going to do something that's going to even drive him even more nuts. And we ain't talking about muting. We ain't muting. We're not against the Conservatives. We're against Boris. I know the guy is an idiot. What did Cameron call him? Didn't he call him a greased piglet?
I don't know. I'm not aware of that.
I think he did. He called him a greased piglet.
Well, that's rich. He was another one who took money off China. Got to mention him last week.
Well, I don't
know. You can't start that. I mean, because Barry Gardner got $500,000 off a Chinese supposed
spy. Did all right,
well, just one second, chaps. You were all going on about this. You know, we were talking about this last week, and you all said, if I remember correctly, you'd all sell out, you know, for the basis of a
chicken fried rice and sweet and sour sauce. We go for that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we take a break for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, maybe sweet and sour pork.
Communism is easily sold to some of you then, by the sounds of things.
You've got to throw in a free bag of prawn crackers.
Yeah, right? they normally come, especially if you buy a lot of meals, you get the prawn crackers as well. Isn't that right, Trevor?
Over £15.
Over £15?
Yeah, you get three prawn crackers.
Yeah, well, big spender. Well, it was Cameron who described Mr. Johnson as the greased piglet for his ability to slip out of apparently impossible situations.
Says David Cameron.
As reported in the Mail Online by Jason Groves. Now, so much has gone on. I don't know, did anybody catch PMQs?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Well, I did.
I will do later.
And everything was just a whole process of distraction. He didn't answer the questions. He wasn't answering the questions. And he just kept evading it and turning around and saying, basically, we've got bigger things to think about. We're doing great things for the economy. Really? After they've just written off nearly $4 billion in false loans, and your man, Mr. Agnew, known as the Chinless Wonder, that guy resigned his position because he was incredulous about the way that the money was just being thrown out.
Well, there's a man of principle, so, you know, a big shout out to him, which we'll come back to later.
Yeah. But when you look at it, I mean, you've got to admit, there are big mistakes going on there, Stevie. I mean,
well,
you know,
nobody across the board really can deny this, really, to be quite honest. You know, lots of mistakes have gone on. You could get into the discussions of whataboutery, you know, whether it was Labour, if Labour were in charge, would it be any different? And I suspect not.
It's
possibly
not
worse.
What about a re? It's what about a lie? And loads of them going on. I believe the word is behind the scenes, and I'm going to bring Mark here. Sorry, Trevor, go ahead.
No, I've not heard one accusation of corruption ever in my loony party.
I can well understand that. You guys are the good guys of politics. I know that you found your true spiritual home, sir.
Oh, yes.
Trevor, can we ask how your new position as Minister of Allotments in the Monster Raving Loony Party is going?
It's going well. We're up to 7 allotments allocated at the moment.
Ooh, now, see? Yeah.
That's 7 in a week.
See that?
That's one a day.
Progress. Yeah, that's one in the face. That's broccoli in the eye for you, kiddo.
Yes.
Can we ask, Trevor, where were these allocated?
Where were they allocated? Up north, because we're levelling up.
We are ahead
of the Conservative Party on levelling up.
Well, talk about levelling up. Did you know that the 1922 committee are now actually having changes proposed in the leadership rules to allow 2 challenges a year? 2 challenges a year. So if they get the required amount, I think it's about 15% of the total MPs on the Conservative side. So it's 54 of them. Now, the word is, the gossip is that they've got it.
I read somewhere the other day that they missed the deadline last week. Apparently it was Wednesday, but I can't remember where I read that, but that's what I read.
Well, they've actually got the required number, but now they're actually sitting back and thinking, what's going to happen? The election's coming up. There's so many distractions. Anyway, we're going to move on. And you're going to, sorry, Mark,
well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it'd be interesting to see how he wriggles out of this one. So let me get this right. So the report where the Boris and his pals broke the law will ultimately be given to Boris to determine what is released.
Well, he's already said that he's going to put the whole thing out.
Of course.
I'm going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So it's not going to be the truth then.
Did you see how... Well, if you watched PMQs, you would have noted how confident Boris was
today. To be honest, from what you've said, it just sounds like it's a carbon copy of last week's PMQs. So
I have to say that he was a little bit more ebullient about the way that he was dealing things. It's almost as if he knew what was going to happen. That was my feeling. You know, so he's in the clear. You know, that was the feeling that I had. Now, I hope... Now, the Good Law Project have pushed it forward. The Metropolitan Police are now investigating. Sue Gray has said that she's going to give the report over, and she wants the whole report to be made public as well.
Well, at least the police know that the excuse of someone not knowing the rules, when you're breaking the rules, it's not. It's commonly known that claiming not to know the law is not a reasonable excuse for breaking it.
Yeah. And
you can't use that as an excuse.
I get that. Well... Boris has been using lots of other excuses to try and cover up the things that he's actually done. And the truth of the matter is, there is no excuse. The serious point was that people were not able to say goodbye to their loved ones.
Yes.
And you know about that, Mark.
I do.
So if this man was breaking the rules after making the rules, and if he's found out, then He's got to go. That's it. And you've got to rip up your card. We'll keep on asking you every week. Rip up your card.
He should have just pretended he was with the BBC reporters, and then he could have gone wherever he wanted, including on COVID wards when people are dying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I go with that. I go with that. One of the big excuses, the big distraction, and he's obviously in cahoots with Putin over this one because Putin wants him to stay in. So that's why Putin's there on the sidelines threatening, you know, the world that he's going to move into Ukraine. What do we think about that one as a distraction? Go ahead, Mark.
It just, as I said before, it's a bit convenient, isn't it, when there's a lot of other stuff going on now, all eyes are on Russia. Yeah. Like Trevor said, this has been going on for a while. They've been there since 2014, Crimea, and it's a lot more complex than we think. Now, I think Russia are probably quite entitled to do military exercises, as are we, and we do them.
Yeah.
I don't think they might be a little bit annoyed that there's troops on their border too.
The only thing that sort of makes people a little bit worried is they're allowed to do military exercises in the economic zone, but not in territorial waters. And so at the moment, they're overdoing things or planning things with Ireland, and they're going to be 150 miles off the coast of Ireland. So that's a little bit close. I mean, I know he's doing it on purpose. I mean,
we do them near North Korea. So
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't see about what's going on. Steve, go on. You're going to say something. Go ahead.
I wasn't, actually.
You weren't going to say anything?
No.
Well, then what was your tongue doing? Was it looking to actually get into your ear?
I was just sitting there quietly. Yeah, I was just sitting there quietly. But you raised this issue of, Russia. And I don't think it should be taken lightly, to be quite honest with you. And irrespective of, you know, the degree of the threat, which people will have different views on, in my view, to have an opposition party pantomiming in Parliament the way they have done today and over recent weeks, over these sort of issues of Partygate, if you like, I find ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, those things need looking at, they need investigating. But at the bottom line, if you like, you know, the reason is this. There's big issues going on in the country and outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my view, the Labour Party has lost focus. And a lot of the issues...
They've lost focus.
Yeah, well, I would say they
well,
have.
Well, in that case, then, Boris should have gone to Specsavers.
But just one second. You know, we're talking about an opposition party here. We're talking about them raising all of these issues.
Oh, yeah.
The fact of the matter is this. You know, they're not really taking up the issues that matter to people. Yes, all of this needs looking at, investigating. It needs dealing with. It needs transparency. And it needs getting dealt with. But at the end of the day, I see and I talk to people every day who want things dealt with that affect them personally on a daily basis, like the cost of living, opportunities, and many other things.
Let me bring Trevor in there. Go on, Trevor.
Yeah, I just want to just give my opinion on the Putin side of it. But I just want to clarify, even though I do eat a lot of Chinese, and the statement I'm about to make does not make me a commie.
Yeah.
Now, see,
that's left-wing logic coming from a right-winger over there.
Yeah, as regards Putin, I think he's got a bit of a point, myself, because you've had the EU encroaching and spreading their borders for the last 15 years.
Yep.
You've got Lithuania, all the communist... ex-communist countries, I should say.
Lithuania, states.
Poland, Romania, et cetera, all joining the EU. And they are encroaching on his border.
Yeah. It's a security issue. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And
if anybody wants to comment on Trevor's, make it quick, because we're going to be moving on to the local with stats.
I will. I kind of see what you're saying. This isn't a one-sided story.
No.
It's been a lot of political figures from America making a lot of money in Ukraine.
Yeah,
as I say, there's troops on the Russian border. Now, he hasn't actually invaded Ukraine, has he?
No.
No. He says he's not going to, though, doesn't he?
That's what he says.
Exactly. So what's with all this hysteria? I mean, I don't see us sending troops to the Canadian border or the Australian border. And or the Chinese border. These people are all putting people in camps for various reasons and this draconian COVID nonsense.
Well, they've already shipped a lot of... Yeah, I understand.
And those troops, a lot of them troops have been there for quite some time already.
They've already shipped a lot of arms across to Ukraine. You know, they're getting a lot of support there, just in case. Anyway, Steve, you wanted to make a quick comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, really, you know, in terms of the European Union, we all know that the structure was actually mirrored on the old USSR.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad we got out. It was clearly detrimental to our freedom, so I'm glad we did get out. But, you know, I can understand Russia's view in terms of what Mark and Trevor have just said, but the bottom line is we need to sort this out because we don't want tensions building and leading to, you know, conflict.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want war with Ukraine, but why do we have to put up with this political...
Well, it's not with Ukraine, no, it's
sorry,
Russia.
With Russia,
it's,
sorry. I don't want a war in Ukraine with Russia, but why do we have to put up with this political willy-waggling all the time? They're all out again now, aren't they? Distracting from other things. Where are the blood and all this stuff?
If I can finish it off with one quick point.
Go on.
I'm glad it's Putin that said that, not Boris, because if Boris said we've no intentions of invading Ukraine, we'd be there tomorrow.
and we'd be eating our Chinese on Ukrainian soil.
Yes.
Because we find a good old Ukrainian Chinese fish and chip shop. to get our chicken fried rice, no MSG.
And there would be one there. I'm sure they would.
Oh, there would be. Right, well, we're going to move on. We're going to go to the local, and this is with Stats. Go ahead, Stats.
Thank you very much. Right, I'm going to go into stats mode, so bear with me. So I'm going to touch on an article I found in the Northwich Guardian, which was by Mark Smith. It was Disabled Children Among Victims in Cheshire Hate Crime Rise. Now, the article says police figures contained in a report to Cheshire West and Chester Council reveal 2,686 hate crime incidents were recorded during the 12 months up to September last year, a rise of 15%. But nowhere does Mark actually tell us what percentage of these reports are actually proven crimes. So, with some help of the hate crime section of the government website, I'll attempt to try and put this into some context because I think it's a little bit overblown.
Go, Stats, go.
And in my opinion, it's a bit misleading, really. So, okay, so we look at how many of these reports ended up with a conviction. So, government data shows the violence against the person, public order and criminal damage and arson offences comprised of 97% of hate crime flagged offences. So that's probably the majority of them, so we'll work on that.
Okay.
Government data tells us that 40% of reported hate crimes are violence against the person, with only 8% of those offences being dealt with by a charge or a summons. So if we take the 2,686 reported hate crimes in Cheshire and go by those average national figures, we get roughly over 1,000 reported hate crimes for violence. If only 8% end in conviction, we have approximately 86 violence against the person hate crimes in 1 year in a constituency of almost 1 million people.
Okay.
Not as bad as it sounds.
No.
And we can roll this out to the public order reported hate crimes, roughly about 52% of all hate crimes reported there, 12% of those report resulting in a charge or summons, giving us 168 per year out of 1 million people. And they're public order, they're not the serious hate crimes.
Yeah.
Finally, we can do the same with the criminal damage and arson. So I'll skip the workings out, and roughly 9 a year resulting in a charge or summons. And remember, these are recorded crimes that you can report on a website using a person's perception. Now, the headline states, it's insane. Yeah. I mean, the headline
perception,
states...
Perception.
Yeah, and anyone's perception along the process. So the headline states disabled people are being targeted. Yes, perhaps they are, and it's appalling, but let's put that into context. So using the system I used earlier to get a rough figure, I get roughly 3 convictions that year for violence against a disabled person. Apparently, there's been a 22% increase in hate crimes against disabled people, but this is in contrast to national figures, which actually fell by 9%. So something's not right there either. The reporting's a bit off. There's something wrong, or suddenly Cheshire has become really hateful to disabled kids, and I'm just not having that.
Okay.
So, of course, for all these dribbling left-wing lunatics, I'm not condoning hatred towards people, but I'd say these figures are relatively low. It shows this isn't the racist, bigoted country that these identity-obsessed leftists make it out to be. And I think is their goal eradicating hate entirely?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy Corbyn was all for that in his Harry Potter manifesto, wasn't he? I just think it's unrealistic. It's not going to happen. And I think the media have been very, very misleading, in my opinion. many of these...
Misleading the media?
Yeah.
Many
of these reports aren't actually offences. In fact, we had police forces such as Merseyside telling people being offensive is an offence. So no wonder there's a rise in recording these issues. But we know it's not offence because they had to come out and apologise for being misleading.
Yeah.
Now, also remember, some of these so-called incidents are just regular crimes, like, for instance, assault or criminal damage, but somebody's perception along the way turns them into a hate crime. Story time. I know two disabled people who had a fight, and one of them claimed the other guy started the fight with him because he was disabled. So I'm sorry, but these are some of the calibre of these reports.
Two disabled people
Yes.
started a fight.
Yes.
And the other one said he picked on me because
Correct.
I'm disabled.
So if these type of people are reporting these crimes, this is where we've got the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to quickly summarise. So
sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, no.
You should, actually, because it's just bizarre. So according to the government, these increases in police recorded hate crimes in recent years have been driven by improvements in crime recording and a better identification of what constitutes a hate crime. Yet this isn't reported on in the article, just more hysteria. The government also states that because of these changes, police recorded crime figures do not currently provide reliable trends in hate crime.
Wow.
Yet we're being told the trend's on the upside without this explanation by the media.
So the trend is upwards without any real facts to back it up.
Yes, and why? Why are they giving the impression that we're a nation of hate and it's only going to get worse and worse and only the holier than thou can save us? So now the overreaction will lead to the council updating its hate crime strategy. And no doubt the police will have their knickers in a knot over it, with more money and time wasted. We've got other serious crime on the rise. But the bit that really makes a mockery for me is that for 40 years, racial and religious hate crime targeting underage girls for rape and assault in towns up and down the country by a certain demographic have been totally ignored.
Yeah.
I guess that's your white privilege for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this hate crime issue, like most other things, is being overblown when in reality more serious aspects are brushed under the carpet. But I suppose that's easier for the Quislings in power to deal with, isn't it?
Indeed.
Sorry, that took some time. But
No, that's brilliant.
We've touched on this before, and I just need to put it all into context. It's not as bad as they make out.
He's doing his naked sooty bit hand again.
Sorry, you've been very patient, Quislings.
Yeah, go on.
I just want to make a very quick point echoing, actually, what Mark has just said, which, you know, we have said a number of times on this programme, that this country is a very welcoming and tolerant country.
It is.
You know, and that is the vast, vast majority of people. Occasionally, you will get people who say and do things which don't fit the country's narrative and, you know, what
we're
about.
Well, it sounds like handicapped people attacking each other.
That was
one example.
Yeah, I don't know if they reported it, but, you know. If people are reporting things like that, you can see where this is. On a website,
I don't hear on a daily basis lots of hatred towards other people. I really don't.
I don't hear any, really.
I don't hear it. Okay, well, let's move that on. That was a great local. Thanks very much for that.
Sorry about how long it took.
But no, that was great. That was great. Now we've got Woking the Plank? Yeah, Woking the Plank this week is with Trevor the Gazelle. Are you there, sir? Speak.
I certainly am, Jonathan.
Go ahead.
So this week, it's my turn for a bit of woke gifts. My turn for a bit of woke this week. That was hard to say.
Yeah, go with it, sir. Go with it.
Commonly known as Wokely Pokely.
Yes.
Now, I'll get through this as quick as I can because I'm tending to agree with Steve. I'm getting sick to death of this stuff. Now, this comes from Britain's wokiest university.
Okay.
Hey, what a claim to fame that is, isn't it? It's a bit of woke East University. Bristol University is reportedly making moves to ban the word maternity.
Oh, for goodness sake, why?
Because it is exclusionary. Exclusionary.
Exclusionary? What?
An anonymous academic at Bristol Uni.
Yeah.
I wonder why they're anonymous.
Well, there you go. So,
this just tickled me, this. Has allegedly, there's a lot of allegedlys and reportedlys in this, isn't there? Told a PhD student, Raquel Rosario Sanchez, that despite removing the words woman, she, and her from the maternity policy, the diversity chiefs have ruled that the term maternity was now problematic and exclusionary. Miss, it's bizarre, isn't it? Miss Rosario Sanchez is currently preparing for a sex discrimination and negligence case against the unit, which is due to take place next month. One whistleblower claimed that when she pointed out that only a biological woman can give birth, she was reported to the human resources for being transphobic.
See what I mean?
In another instance, a female lecturer contacted Ms. Rosario Sanchez after the uni reportedly dismissed her complaint about men being allowed in the female changing rooms at the university's pools.
Right.
She voiced her concerns to the uni's director of sport after she and her 8-year-old daughter had come across men who were male-bodied and wearing men's clothes in the changing areas. Yeah. Miss Rosario Sanchez said that when the woman spoke to the pool staff, she was told that people could use the changing room they were more comfortable in, whatever their sex.
Do you know what, Trevor? Yeah. I mean, you know, how ridiculous is this? You know, it really is the height of stupidity that anybody would sit here and really pontificate on these issues. I'm glad. Yeah. Is she taking legal action?
Yeah, she's taking legal action, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's it's going to happen next month. Ms. Rosario Sanchez's legal battle centres on claims that uni bosses failed to tackle transgender activists who she claims have subjected her to a 2-year hate campaign. I think there just needs to be an independent inquiry into all this. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Quickly.
I agree with Trevor. I think there should be an inquiry into what's going on specifically within the education system, because most of this appears to emanate from, I use the term loosely, highly educated people within the education system who are coming out with this and proposing all of these issues. And it does need investigating. We need to have some clarity on what's being delivered in our education system.
That's a good point, that, Steve.
You know, we'd really
That's a great point. And we need clarity within the Conservative Party and the policies that they put forward. We need that clarity. We need Boris clearly gone.
Name the words out my mouth.
Name one Labour policy.
I'll tell you right now, to get Boris out. There it is.
That's the only one he's got.
And that's it. Yeah, that's it, because we've got nothing else.
I'm not a Labour card carrier. I'm not a Labour member. I'm not.
I think you should be searched right now for your Labour carrying card.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry, but this is just another sign of insane times, isn't it?
It is.
You're going after someone for saying only biological women can have babies. Oh. I'm sorry, but I mean, people pushing this nonsense are absolute lunatics. What? And I can't find a nicer word for them. It's just madness.
Can I just say a nice little point, actually? Do you remember the time? I was just thinking, we're talking about maternity here, which Trevor has raised. And I remember years back.
What, when you had your first baby?
We might be missing a trick here. We could get, six months off.
I'm just going to say something very nice here. I'm going back a bit, but, you know, when I'm sure some still do, but back in the day when my wife was pregnant, she used to wear lovely maternity dresses and she looked absolutely fabulous. She looked blooming and she looked great.
She looked blooming lovely.
Well, she did, actually.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of those nice dresses.
I think we should move on.
I think
if I may as well, now that we're actually on about party policies, I wish, if I may, to just bring in a new section to our
to the Monster Raving Lunai Party.
Yes, actually. Now, again, you read my mind there, Jonathan.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'd like to bring out some of our policies from our Manic Festo.
Yes.
Now this...
He's calling it a Manic Festo.
It's a Manic Festo. Yeah. Now, I just want to bring up one policy. I want to try and introduce a couple of policies a week. Okay. And one of the main policies that I'm be pushing for is to get more children reading.
Oh, yeah.
So, fish and chips will now once again be wrapped in newspaper.
so the kids read.
Couldn't you wrap them in Shakespeare?
Wrap them in Shakespeare.
Yes.
Excuse me. This isn't really a platform for the latest manifesto policy delivery of the monster rape.
Well, yeah, it's all right for you to go pushing. We got the best economy since the G7, the best, and we're doing so wonderful. We made all the big right decisions.
Thank you for
Boris is the man.
Thank you for recognising
us.
I'd like to think that my role from now on, as you say, I think I've definitely found my main
spiritual home.
My spiritual home, yeah.
Hey,
so this is why I want to sort of bring a little bit of fun back into politics, because I think we've lost the fun.
You're going to be now, the monster raving lunai shaman.
We're bringing in the
MLT. You're going to have your party conferences in an allotment shed.
That's a good idea.
That's a good point, Steve. I will put that forward.
Got to be a big shed.
You've got to get
at least eight people in there.
Lots and lots of us. Now, another policy I want to be pushing on is the MOT is an annual test to ensure that your car is roadworthy. Now, what we will do when we get into Parliament is we will introduce an annual test. What are you laughing at?
When you get into Parliament.
Don't we already have MOTs?
No, we've got the MOT, I've said that, but we will introduce an annual test, which will be called the ROT, make sure that all the roads are car worthy.
All the roads are car worthy.
What are you going to do with it?
There's actually some sense
so you're to flipping that. It. You're flipping it. So you know, all these roads that have got potholes, you're going to make sure that they actually get done.
Of course they are, yeah, because if we've got to have an MOT, then, you know, us in the Looney Party are going to demand an ROT.
Right. Okay. I mean, the roads have got
to
be.
I just want to sort of introduce a couple of policies a week, if that's allowed.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, that's all right.
As I say, we need to bring some fun back into politics that it's lost over the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Well, here's some more fun. Here's Steve's public figure of the week. Go ahead.
The Maven.
Go on, Trevor. Trevor.
Caw-caw.
Caw-caw.
Was he asleep on his perch then?
He was.
I was actually, yeah. I was just reading some. I was laughing. I was tickling myself, but there we go. Carry on.
Okay, enough.
We'll definitely move on. This is obviously, what happened a few days ago. This is thank you and good night. New blow for Boris as Lord Treasury Minister dramatically quits at the dispatch box in protest at indolence, arrogance and ignorance that has allowed COVID fraud to cost us the equivalent of 1p on income tax. Now, I don't know what people's thoughts are on this, but, you know, I see this simply in context as a man standing up for his principles, and I like that.
Yeah.
Now, whether you agree with what he's done and what he's said, that falls
back. Oh, no, I totally agree with him. I say straight off, because he was basically saying that there was a complete disregard for fiscal fiduciary.
That's right. I get the point he's making, the issue he's raising. Yeah. The point I'm making is I like people, whoever they are, whatever party they are, whatever organisation that is, I like people who stand up for what they believe in on a point of principle.
Yeah.
What about Jeremy Corbyn? He voted against vaccine passport, didn't he?
Who did, sorry?
Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, again,
you didn't know that? It was something you didn't know?
That's next week's shout-out for you. Sorted.
Well, that guy,
I'll do something else next week.
Your man was a minister for counter-fraud.
Yeah, well, the point I'm making is, this goes back to what we were saying some time back, you know, and I've raised this a number of times. This goes back to, I use this phrase regular, traditional standards, right? And this comes back to integrity, morality, and ethics, and lots of different things like that. Now, I like it when somebody stands up and removes themselves from a position on principle.
And just so that people know and understand, his main beef was over the grants and the way that the public purse was defrauded when those COVID grants came out.
That's right.
And a lot of people actually took advantage of the fact that there were no real checks. And he was saying that
there should have been.
There should have been. And that's what the guy was. That's what the guy was saying.
I agree.
So
I agree.
You know, and you know, I quite like that. That guy actually was a former Undersecretary of State for Education, and I had to deal with him when I had a problem with the former Academy Trust that was involved in our own town, and he did listen. He did listen, and it did happen anyway. So there is his public person of the week, and that is the job done. What's this?
It's my Conservative Party conference booking.
Oh, like we really, really want to know it. I mean, are you going to try and... Maybe we should go outside with leaflets saying, rip up your cards for the sake of Boris.
The way they spend their money, this is going to be some party, this, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
We're going to be paying for all his drinks.
Well, you know what time it is, gentlemen. And it is the last orders, and we are going to go in for the shout-outs and shout-downs, and I'm just going to jump in quickly, and I'm going to say, I'm going to give a shout-out to Lindops in Queens Ferry. Who did a very, very good job on my car. And I do not normally compliment main dealers, but I have to say they did a very good job and the staff were lovely. So to Lindsay and Vicky and some of the other people that I spoke to, sorted out my car. Thank you very much. There's my shout out. Okay, who's going next?
Trevor. I'll go next.
No, it isn't. Trevor's going next.
Oh, all right then. Make your mind up.
Well, mine's a shout down this week.
Okay, sir,
ooh,
go ahead.
Ooh.
To Boris. You have been caught.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Go ahead.
Sorry, can I carry on? Thank you. To Boris, you have been caught on multiple issues. Just go.
Yep. Go ahead, Steve.
Right. This may surprise you, actually. My shout out
is to Chris Matheson, MP, the MP for Chester.
Jeremy Corbyn?
No. My shout out is actually to Cheshire West and Chester Council this week.
Ooh.
You are.
Yeah. Hang on.
I know what he's going to say.
Go ahead.
Now, they're bringing in proposals for heavier fines for people who litter. And there's a bit of an article online regarding the council workers who clean the streets. I'm a big fan of the people who do this sort of job, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And it talks about everything they do, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning and all the mess and the cleaning they have to do on a regular basis. Now, I've noticed over the past few years that littering seems to be becoming more and more of a problem. And last year...
That's because they want to charge people for the bins.
Yeah. Well, that's no excuse for littering at all. Now, last year...
Well, what about their leaflets? Don't you not call those litter?
I knew a man, he worked at the council, he saved up for a boat, and he called it dignity. Bum, 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 bum.
Good grief. Last year, I was down the groves by the river in Chester with Elaine, and we were walking down there. And
she pushed you in?
No. She thought about it, but there you go.
We need to give her more money next time.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Earlier in the day, there'd been hundreds and hundreds of people around that area. And after most of the people left, the litter was astronomical. I've never seen anything like it in my life. We have a beautiful city in Chester, so I'm in favour of the council doing things and measures to stop littering.
Okay. All right. So that's
totally agree. You want to see that passage?
Stats man, your shout out, shout down.
Sorry, I got distracted by Trevor's.
I heard that.
How is your back passage these days, Trev?
Busted.
Is it? To get onto the council of yours again.
My back passage is full of all sorts, I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Stats.
Oh, God, I'm trying. Yeah. Okay, my shout out this week, and it's a shout out for the change, is to co-op funeral directors in Little Sutton, who worked extremely hard over Christmas and New Year. They had quite a few problems with staff and COVID infections and stuff, but they still put on a great service for families in their hour of need. So big shout out to them.
Okay.
Well done, Mark. Yeah.
There you go.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we've come to the end of the show. And you know what that means, don't you? It isn't the Queen that's getting it this week. It is. All right. Come on with your quotes. Go ahead. Do you want to go, Steve?
Yes, I will go. Actually, it's a nice little quote. It's very short, but very deep, actually. And it's by Rainer Maria Rilke, which is, the only journey is the one within. And that talks about, really, to me, your journey through life, how you learn, develop and grow as a person. And it's your journey. So you should never allow other people to affect it negatively, and likewise do the same in return.
Good. Okay, go ahead, Stats.
Okay, I'll keep it short and sweet this week. Politicians and nappies need to be changed often. And for the same reason.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, his on-screen name here is Judge Judy. Okay, but there we go. The Gazelle, go ahead. What's yours?
Yeah, man, this week, Jonathan, is rabbits jump and they live for 8 years. Dogs run and they live for 15 years. Tortoises do nothing and they live for 150 years. Lesson learned.
Well, I have to say, my usual statement, thank God that's all over. Well, I say, another great podcast. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And I am using the term, as ever, loosely.
Absolutely. Now, can I just mention something here? It needs to be said, this.
No, we're finished now.
He's going to the conference.
No. I'm not going to mention that. The conference I'm going to for the Conservative Party. Yeah. I won't mention that. But we need to stop being a bit negative towards the government, and we need to start focusing on all the positives going on in the country. It's a great year this year for the Queen. Big developing economy, lots of things going on. Let's make the country great.
There you go. Muted. Got rid of him. He's off now. That's it. He's off. He's muted. That's it. Trevor, I did the right thing there, didn't I?
You certainly did. And let's make the country great again, as Steve was about to say. And let's sack Boris.
Yeah.
Sack them all.
We've got many more other things to do to make...